is number 13, 7th of January 2013.
Hello and welcome to Chatbiz. With me today I have Martin Wagner, who's Vice Principal of Business and Community at West Suffolk College in Suffolk. And I have Simon Page, Head of Vocational Learning with WS Training in Ipswich. Thank you for coming, gentlemen. Now, today we're going to talk about apprenticeships. I am of an age where I know the traditional apprenticeships, and obviously by my accent, you can tell I'm from the northeast of England, where apprenticeships were particularly strong because it was very much a manufacturing, industrial, shipyards, mining background. It's changed slightly. And the way the government have changed is in the last few years, they've set up a modern apprenticeship scheme. Now, Martin, what does that mean to your college?
Well, the apprenticeship means to my college that we work with employers to help young people achieve an apprenticeship framework. Can I say right from the start that I was an apprentice some 30-odd years ago.
Now all short of age.
Yes, in the hospitality industry, and I did a four-year apprenticeship. Slightly different to today's apprenticeship, but an apprenticeship is a route through to qualifications, to potentially go on to higher education, to earn while you're learning. There are obligations for both the learner and the employer in that relationship, but an apprenticeship is a very good route to take.
And Simon, your company is a training company, so how are you approaching apprenticeship?
We all approach apprenticeship in the same way. I mean, to follow on from what Martin was saying, an apprenticeship definition these days is a job with training which goes to a recognised framework of qualifications where there is a competency, a knowledge, and what we used to call the three R's, but they are all elements of an apprenticeship framework. I wasn't an apprentice, but one of my colleagues is an apprentice. He's due to retire, and he did his apprenticeship. His was a five-year apprenticeship. See your four-year apprenticeship and raise my colleagues to a five-year at Ransoms in Ipswich. Good old-fashioned engineering apprenticeship. But things have moved on. It's the description, or it's the name that's given to a package of work based learning that is attached to a job, and that's the difference between, I think Martin will agree, a college course, which is a course or a program to achieve a qualification. An apprenticeship is a job which also leads to a qualification or a set of qualifications, but it is primarily the job with training as opposed to training for a job.
Right, that's a very good explanation. Thank you very much, Simon. Now, the levels that people can attain is intermediate, advanced and higher. And with them, there's level 2, 3, 4 and 5. Why no level 1?
There is progression to apprenticeships, but there isn't a level 1 apprenticeship as such. A level 2 apprenticeship, you would expect somebody to be working at a level where they've got direct supervision. Two apprenticeships, intermediate apprenticeships, are generally 12 to 18 months in length, whereas an advanced apprenticeship can be anything up to 4 years in duration.
I noticed the higher level, level 5, particularly for some of the business qualifications which come out, are actually quite challenging.
They're very challenging. Advanced apprenticeship in engineering, for example, which is very important to our area, you would expect somebody to have 4 GCSEs at grade C as a minimum, and very good maths to get onto the program in the first place, and an ability potentially to progress to higher education with many apprenticeships, because many employers are expecting their apprentices get to a higher national certificate level.
So when you're looking at having an apprentice and it comes to their training, is that where your college takes over, Martin, for the training?
As an employer, the employer could come to either the college, to West Suffolk College, or indeed to WS Training. West Suffolk College, and I'm sure Simon would say the same for WS Training and other providers, will help the employer find the apprentice. To the extent the employer wants us to do that, we advertise the employer's vacancies on our website. We help them register their vacancy on the National Apprenticeship Vacancy website. We will take part in the recruitment process with the employer. all providers of apprenticeships are required to monitor that apprenticeship on a regular basis, on a quarterly basis at the very least, to help the apprentice achieve their framework and actually to support the employer as well. It's important to stress that it is a three-way partnership and it does require a contribution in terms of time from the employer.
I'm a small business, as most of our listeners know, and my business is horticulture and design. So if I was looking for a horticultural student to come to me, I would need assistance with getting the right person. What happens if in the interviewing process you just don't gel with a person? How long do you have?
A couple of stages in the process. The first one is that an employer is not obligated to take an individual if they interview them and they don't think that they're right for their business.
Same as an ordinary job interview.
It's a job.
That apprentice is employed.
Right.
So the same processes would apply in terms of induction, in terms of probation into the job. The same responsibilities are there for both the employee, the apprentice, and the employer.
I really appreciate that explanation because I think that's where, Simon, some people get slightly mixed up. They take it more like work placement.
There is a key emphasis on an apprenticeship. It is a job. Basic thing to get round. It is a person in a job, whether they are 16 or whether they are 61. They can still be an apprentice. The thing that makes it an apprenticeship is that they sign an apprenticeship agreement, which is a three-way contract, if you like, between the employer, the apprentice, and the training provider, that they will undertake the work towards the full framework. Now, the frameworks are set nationally under a thing called the Specification for Apprenticeship Standards in England, known in the trade as SACE, part of the Apprenticeship Schools and Children's Learning Act of 2009. Trots off the tongue, doesn't it? But it was the government's last attempt at setting out the minimum that an apprentice should get. And it is in there that it specifies they should be working towards what we call a main aim, which is what determines the level of the apprenticeship. So right. They may be doing an MVQ level 2 diploma, and that would mean that the apprenticeship is an intermediate apprenticeship. An advanced apprenticeship, the main aim would be at a level 3 qualification, but you can then confuse the issue by saying that they can actually do some level 4 units if they want, or they might be able to do some level 2, and their functional skills will be at level 2. But they're doing a level 3 apprenticeship, so you can get really, really confused. And that's where the training provider, whether it be a college, an independent or a charity, can come in, and with the small business they can basically hold their hands through the whole process. But if you want an apprentice, you are basically taking somebody on to work for you in a job, to do the job that you want them to do. Right. Whether that be in horticulture, whether it be in hospitality, engineering, manufacturing, a call centre, retail.
I did notice this, under the apprenticeship website, which we will put the link on for anybody who wants to go to it, there are basically 10 different types of apprenticeships, which I think these titles cover nearly everything. Agriculture, horticulture and animal care is one. Business administration and law. Now, that one surprised me, because that isn't what I think of as an apprenticeship. Education and...
No, they're not the titles of the apprenticeships. They're what we call
the sector
subject areas.
Yeah. And underneath each one of those, there will be quite a number of routes that you can use to match the job role within an employer's premises, or within the employer's operation, should I say, with the apprentice, because the apprenticeship framework has to be relevant to the business that the apprentice can achieve. If it isn't relevant, it is impossible for the apprentice to achieve that framework. I would say that in some instances, perhaps an apprenticeship isn't the most appropriate route for an employer to take. They may want to perhaps take a student on work experience. We've got nearly 3,000 full-time students, and work experience is a very important part of their programme. And it might be that that's a starting point and not a full apprenticeship.
Yeah. There's the section of education and training. There's health, public services and care. There's leisure, travel and tourism. arts, media and publishing, obviously construction planning and the built environments, engineering and manufacturing technologies, which are the two that I think most people will take this as, information and communication technology, retail and commercial enterprise. Yeah. There isn't a business out there that couldn't possibly
there are more than 250 frameworks with about 1,400 job roles within a huge range of industrial settings, from accountancy, engineering, veterinary nursing, floristry, huge numbers of frameworks available.
That wasn't what I was expecting.
Wouldn't want your child to have the experience to achieve the qualification, then actually an apprenticeship is possibly not the right route. Mm. To find all those apprenticeship frameworks, if you go to www.apprenticeships.org.uk.
Yep.
There's a vast wealth of information on that website, as there indeed there is on our West Suffolk College's website and WS Training's website as well. So a huge amount of information. But both of our organisations employ people that will come out to you and talk you through the apprenticeship information, because as you've found, there's a huge amount of information there, and trying to find your way through that is quite complex if you're not used to taking on an apprentice.
No, and you said something which I'm often misquoted as saying, is that there isn't a job that there isn't an apprenticeship framework to fit to it. If somebody is in employment for 16, 30 hours a week and they are doing a job, you can find something that will fit them. As Martin said, it's 250. If you look at the, you know, the top headings, I had a conversation with a colleague from our industry body, the Association of Learning Providers, last week, and I said, okay, where in that list of that you've just given out, where would you find hairdressing and beauty? And hairdressing is the most popular apprenticeship framework in the country. Mm-hmm. So out of those 10 headings that you read out, where does hairdressing fit?
That's a good one. You'd have to go to a professional like you to find out.
Exactly.
But I would imagine. health?
No, it's retail and commercial enterprise. I put you out of your misery.
Type in hairdressing and find it.
Because that's the thing. There's all sorts of things, and with all rebranding and the like, different organisations like to have their two penny worth, and so they'll badge something as improving operational performance. What does that mean? It actually means manufacturing. And within each framework, there are different options for the competency element and the knowledge element, different sizes of qualifications, different routes, different awarding organisations. Some people will prefer to do their qualification. And how many times have we heard, oh, I've got my City and Guilds. You've got your City and Guilds what? Level 1 award or a level 4 diploma in construction? So there are a huge number of options within each framework for each qualification. And each qualification has almost an infinite number of options that can be taken.
Added on.
So you tailor the apprenticeship framework and the elements within it to the job role, to the employer's requirements and the learner's requirements, such that you can make life very easy by picking the units and the options that the person is doing, and would be no problem at all because they know all that stuff. They can sit the test, they can answer the questions, they can demonstrate that they can do those tasks. But where's the fun in that, and where's the challenge?
I think a good training provider will help you as a small business decide if an apprenticeship is right for you, explain how apprenticeships work and if funding is available, because there is an incentive for small business.
Yes, there's the apprenticeship grant for employers of 16 to 24-year-olds.
That's right. They'll agree the training plan for your apprentice. They'll help you recruit the apprentice and support you while you do that. They'll support your staff in supporting the apprentice if you've got staff working with the apprentices. They'll manage the training and the evaluation, and apprenticeships are subject to inspection rules. If you're next teacher, you'll know about inspection.
Oh, yeah.
apprenticeships are subject to Ofsted inspection, yep. So that they'll be responsible for that, and they'll ensure that national quality standards are met to make sure that the apprenticeship programme is consistent, so apprentices at West Suffolk College are consistent with apprenticeships with other training providers.
Right.
And they'll be impartial in that. And I think another important point is, although there's these 250 areas and hundreds of apprenticeships, as we've said, actually no one training provider offers every single apprenticeship. And a good training provider will acknowledge where they cannot help you with a particular apprenticeship framework, and they will refer you on
to more suitable
another apprenticeship provider. Yeah. Particularly, for example, West Suffolk College doesn't do horse care, as one example, so we would be referring that employer on to somebody that does deal with horse care, where there are apprenticeships in that area.
And within the county there is an established network, and in fact most counties have an established network of providers. In Suffolk, I'm the chair of the training provider network in Suffolk, and we meet every 2 months, and the 20 providers that are in Suffolk get together, compare notes and things. But representatives from the funding agency and the National Apprenticeship Service, the local authority, who also have an apprenticeship promotion team, and all of those have websites and information and documents and things. So if a provider cannot offer something, then they may know somebody down the road who does it, or they'll come to me, and that's not as the chair of the network. As Martin said earlier, I know people in all the providers and have a fairly good idea as to what they do. That impartial information, advice and guidance is there, but the first port of call is to find a training provider to ask the question, and if they can't do it, then you go there. For instance, we don't do as much advanced engineering as we used to, but Martin and his team look after those.
So we do it
in partnership. We do one part of it, and for the technical certificate, the knowledge element of it, we pay Martin and his team to do that. We do insurance and banking. I don't think you do. So there's only one place in the county that does horse racing.
Newmarket.
It's the British Racing School.
I actually have a school student who's actually 18 on Friday, but he has gone through quite a lot of thinking about whether he's going to college, whether he's going to uni. And like a lot of students who are making that decision, the question of uni fees now have seriously put an awful lot of students off. So I asked him a few questions about apprenticeship schemes. Now, he goes to the what I would call local comprehensive. I don't know whether they've changed the name for it. And I sort of said to him, what is it that question-wise you would like to put forward? And he said, what percent of students end up with a full-time job?
The answer to that is that all apprentices should end up with a full-time
job. How many
job.
Do? Is that
they,
one?
They are employed. As apprentices, you're in a full-time job.
I appreciate that. How many keep it at the end of the apprenticeship?
That would be a question that you would have to ask each individual employer. It's very difficult to say. But we take people on with the intention, continuity at the end of that apprenticeship programme.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation is that they would be employed at the end of that programme.
Yeah, some may not decide that at the end of it they do something else. I don't know what your figures are, Martin. I've just been looking at our figures for last year, and in some of the sector subject areas that we do, we had 100% full-time employment status at the end of the apprenticeship. Overall, and we put through close on 300 apprenticeship frameworks last year, we had an 88% full-time employment status at the end of it. I don't know whether that's typical or not. It's difficult to find the benchmarks
that. That's a good answer to that one for him. His question, which we have covered, was, now bear in mind, he's been 2 years now in sixth form and 5 years at high school. Are apprenticeships only available for trade jobs? You see, he didn't know all these jobs available. So this is where the schools aren't really doing the backup. The answer to that one, as we now know, is no, there's masses. What other types of apprenticeships are available? Now, he was wondering, because obviously he hasn't got this understanding of what apprenticeships are, which I can honestly tell you, even when I did do the research until you came in, there was still that ambiguity in it. He wants to do graphics. He wants to be a designer. So yes, the answer is yes, you can go down the design route, you can go down the art route. Basically, anything you want to go down, you can.
Providing you can find employment. I think that is it's an important point. Suffolk and this part of the world is a centre for the creative industries. There are not very many creative industry apprentices in this area, I would say, at the moment. The research that would be done would be with the Sector Skills Council, and I haven't got the details with me. And you would go there, and there will be a list of providers that offer creative industry apprenticeships.
Okay, so there is that facility for them.
Because it's a very broad area of work as well, and apprenticeship would be very specific in terms of the route, rather than another difference between a creative industries apprenticeship and a full-time course either at college or university, is that the course at college or university is likely to be fairly broad, but a creative industries apprenticeship will be a job role within the creative industry sector.
Yeah. One of the themes he has come up with at school, he's only been given information about UCAS.
Right.
And they're not promoting apprenticeships or colleges, and his question is why?
That is a question you would need to direct at the school. I was asked this question a few weeks ago on BBC Radio Suffolk, and I refused to take a pop at our colleagues in the school sector. However, in my role as chair of the Training Provider Network, I do meet with colleagues from the local authority, i.e. the schools people, and push for the improvement of information, advice and guidance in schools at every opportunity. Some schools are very good, but I think between us we could also come up with schools who are perhaps more interested in retaining the highly valuable commodity that a young person aged 16 to 18 is for their own business purposes, i.e. their own sixth form. That's not to say that every school does that, and every school with a sixth form will try and push to retain as many people in the sixth form as possible. I think we've both been to events at schools where they've been the Year 11 parents' evening on options for Year 12, and the headmaster or the head teacher has spent 45 minutes extolling the virtues of the sixth form at the school, the fact that they've known those young children from the age of 11 or possibly earlier. They know them, they love them, they've taken them through their GCSEs, which they're hoping that they're going to get very good results from. And of course, the ideal place for them would be to continue that nurturing in their sixth form. They then turn and say, and we now have somebody from a college to tell you what you can do in college, and they've got four slides and 3 minutes to talk about it. And at the end of that, they said, and if you want to know about apprenticeships, there's some people over in the corner. That has happened in a number of schools.
I think there's a balance, isn't there? There are some excellent schools.
There are some excellent ones
as well.
But he obviously goes to one who only want to put their students through UCAS.
I think there are a couple of things that I'd like to add to what Simon has said there. First of all, there is a duty on each school to provide balanced careers and progression advice. Now, if this young person is in the sixth form and he's doing A-levels, an alternative route, if the employment and the apprenticeships are available, is the work-based route and apprenticeships at level three and higher apprenticeships. Yeah. I know Simon does, his team and my team spend a huge amount of time going into certain schools, but not all schools, and trying to get into schools, not only to give advice to the young people, but also to give to staff.
I can see that.
And to parents, perhaps who haven't any experience of apprenticeships, to show what is available.
You have to be invited into a school. We used to have a scheme called the Apprenticeship Champion, which was funded, and we both had staff engaged in that process. But even then, not every school would take up the option of having people to come in and talk, whether it be a 5-minute talk to a Year 11 assembly or running a whole day of small groups Things that we've done. We recently went into Felixstowe Academy and spent the day, or we didn't, you know, the team did, spent the day with half an hour with, I think they did 10 different groups from the year 11 year group, where they had them for half an hour in the IT centre in the school, in the academy, to look at the apprenticeships website and just introduce them to vast array and things that is there, and talk them through the initial stages. If a school invites a provider in to do that, that's brilliant. You can offer the other services, Martin's team and our team and other providers, you know, up in Lowestoft College is very active, and all the providers that will go, but they have to be invited. And you can sometimes find it is challenging to get in.
Maybe
to the
this
schools.
Is where we need to have a word with Suffolk County Council Education, considering Suffolk Education is classed now as one of the worst in the country. There is an awful lot of questions to answer. I mean, he has not heard through the school. The only thing he heard of through apprenticeships was us, as his employers, and also because he has an older brother who has got friends going through it.
I would encourage him also to look at the results that the college and WS Training and others achieved, because they are some of the highest in the country for post-16, apprenticeship success rates, and also our full-time success rates, and they're published. We publish them in the East Anglia Daily Times, and we'll find them on the website as well.
And there's a website called FE Choices, which has got everything on it.
Yeah.
If you can find it and then navigate your way around it, then that's a task ticked off. But the FE Choices has got success rates. You were talking earlier about destinations. It's got learner destinations. It's got the annual employer views survey results on there. The learner views results are on there for every provider that has a government contract. And that's a good place to look. To see whether, you know, who you want to go with.
Yeah.
Because you should have a choice as well, as an employer and as an individual.
As to where you want to go. Yeah, definitely. Now, one of the things he came up is that it's actually got an image problem. Being an apprentice has got an image problem. And I've got the executive summary here from the Federation of Small Businesses. And actually, it is one of the summaries that they have come up with. And it is perceived to be second class in education. And unfortunately, there have been television programmes which have backed up that perception. It may be totally wrong, but it is a perception, and it is a perception that parents have picked up on, that the apprenticeship may not be a value, and that possibly going a different way for education might be better. Now, what the FSB have come up with, have said that giving businesses the autonomy to draw down funding and buy what apprenticeships need and not what the provider wants to deliver. Now, I appreciate there's lots of medium that you can draw down from the list I saw, but once businesses are in control of the training, their perception of and participation in apprenticeships will improve. Now, you're telling me they can do that.
I think the important thing to stress is that actually the apprenticeship frameworks are not designed by the providers. They're devised by the sector skills councils, who are said to represent those industry sectors which make up the apprenticeships. At the moment, the government has got several reports that are out for consultation. One of them is the Richard Review, which takes this into consideration, identifying that actually some job roles may not be suitable for apprenticeships, that some job roles may be suitable for traineeships, but not for apprenticeships. Both Simon and I have talked about engineering as one example, where the expectation is that somebody is going to have very good GCSEs and in many cases is going to have the ability to move on into higher education having achieved their advanced apprenticeship. They have an excellent reputation, and we have numerous examples, and you'll see the case studies on West Suffolk College's website and others of employers that continuously take on apprentices in those areas, and people that have been very successful who are actually running their own small businesses right across Suffolk that were apprentices, that there have been providers nationally, and some employers, it has to be said, that have not delivered apprenticeships as they're supposed to be delivered, and that has damaged the reputation.
It has.
I did watch that television programme and I was appalled.
But I think the response to that from responsible providers is that what they did was they found one or two examples and spent an hour on Panorama taking a pop at, but when you look at the number of apprenticeships that are currently being run in the country, that 100, 150 that they found there was less than 1% of the overall product. What they didn't do was focus on and feature some of the excellent programs that are being run locally, regionally, nationally. We, you know, some of the best apprenticeships that are on offer, that are well paid, are at BT, at Martlesham, national headquarters of BT. The demand for those apprenticeships is absolutely phenomenal.
It's very important to stress, or to re-stress, that the apprenticeship is about being in an employed position. So when a young person is looking for an apprenticeship, they need to look at the job role that the employer is offering. And if an employer cannot offer a job role which leads to that apprenticeship framework, which is meeting the national standard, then possibly an apprenticeship is not for them.
And I think the Richards Review acknowledged that there was a need for government-funded training in the workplace, but at the moment, the only badge you can put on that is an apprenticeship.
Right.
And it may be that some of that funded training and work and, in, you know, qualification achievement alongside employment, there perhaps needs to be a different name for it, but there isn't. And in fact, the term modern apprenticeship came and went, and we haven't had the term modern apprenticeship for six years.
One of the findings, which I've got a summary for, is that employers like me actually are saying that the apprenticeship programme is too confusing. You get links through different websites, you get different information. The apprenticeships.org.uk website seems to be, to me, what I've found to be the easiest to go to get the information from. But I think it's this perception. So small businesses out there, now there are three levels for business size. There's micro, which is under 10, which is myself. And because of being certain sizes, you get different assistants to take on apprenticeships, up to 1,000 and then 1,000 plus. Now, the apprentice has to be with you for minimum 30 hours, but you explained to me that can be shared between two.
They have to have 30 hours employment. So if you were only able to offer 20 hours, but you had another organisation in the village doing the same function, could offer them 12 hours, you know, the rules will allow for that. It's not ideal.
No.
But it's a question of what you have to do these days is you have to interpret the rules to fit the situation.
Right.
And if that's what people, you know, if that's the way to do it, then you can do that. I was at a meeting a few months ago when a colleague of your from the FSB said, is there anywhere where we can follow a simple flow diagram as to how to take on an apprentice? Which I thought was an excellent question, and I wasn't able to find one. So I asked my recruitment team, who deal with employers on a daily basis, to actually draw one up, which I can let you have, and you can put it up and put it on your website. And I wouldn't mind at all if you took off, you know, it's on our logo, but it's a flow diagram that says how many employees have you got, what age are you looking at, where do you go, what do you do, and what have you. That is something that is missing from the NAS website. They know that, we've told them, but they still haven't done anything about it.
How proactive as a supplier you are that you've done that?
I suspect Martin's team have got one exactly the same thing.
Yes.
So it's what you do. Obviously there's information that we can put up to help us.
Yes.
Now, apprentices are from the age of 16 when they leave school to the age of 24 for funding. This is to get the apprenticeship grant.
16 to 18, the apprenticeship training is fully supported. From 19 to 24, mm-hmm. it's funded at 50%, so yep. there's 50% government funding. On top of that, if you're a small to medium-sized enterprise and you haven't had an apprentice for sometimes 12 months, you are eligible to what they call an age grant, which is an employer incentive of £1,500 to help yep. towards employment.
Yeah.
So that is a fantastic help if you are looking to take on an apprentice. And just to clarify, the apprentice salary is, as a minimum, and I will say this is minimum,
yeah.
£2.65 for under-19s for the first year, and then they go on to the national minimum wage. Or if they're over 19, then it is the national minimum wage. And at 19, that starts at £4.98. But on top of that, you get an assistance to help get them through their training. And you get somebody, hopefully, that you can train to meet your standards that then can stay with your company and develop
business. There is a return on investment yeah. chart on the apprenticeship organisation website.
I put details in for paying somebody 30 hours a week, the basic minimum wage, with the cost of for my first year of training them, which I put in as £3,500, which I think is a fair estimate for if you're somebody who's diligent like myself. And then followed through on the form, and it said that I would get £56,000 worth of value from that, putting them up to a £7,500 a year salary. So that's quite, for that investment of a year, 2 years, possibly three, if you're in a position to go up to level 4 or 5, that's quite a good return, for apprenticeship schemes. And one of the things I find is that I have been an advocate for rather a long time that not every child is suitable to go on to further education. It doesn't suit their personalities. It doesn't suit their demeanour. It doesn't suit the family situation. And quite a lot of the time, that is a huge influence on them. But as long as they've got basic education. Now, this is something that I am coming up with now. I've got 16-year-olds who are leaving school, and they're sending me an email, and it is, I want a job. Does you have one? And things like this. Basic education is absolutely appalling. Mm. And one of the questions I have is, basic maths, basic English is key skill. And we are finding that it's not being produced. They've been in education for over 10 years. And after 10 years, they can't spell and they can't add up. And as an employer, if I'm having to take somebody on and I've got to start teaching them the very basics, that is going to cost me a hell of a lot of money. And not money from the financial cost, but the time costs.
I'll let you answer that one, Martin.
Well, it's an indication of where we are.
It's a sad indictment.
It is.
And if they had got a competent level in English and maths, i.e. grade C.
C and above.
And above at GCSE, then we wouldn't need to have functional skills as part of apprenticeship frameworks. We have found, as many colleges have, that we have had to put on pre-apprenticeship programmes, foundation programmes, to prepare young people to actually go for interview and to become job ready.
Yeah.
And that has been a growing area. Once that young person, following the apprenticeship framework, has achieved that functional skill, and we put the functional skills, English and maths, at the front of the programme,
yeah, we do.
It's finished.
Right.
I would always advise an employer, and we certainly do it with the employers that we work with, that they undertake an initial assessment, and they undertake a test at interview stage to actually diagnose their English and maths. Some apprenticeship frameworks, as we've mentioned, they're required to be at level 2 before they actually come onto the programme.
Yeah.
There are other young people we would classify as at level 1 when they do the initial assessment. They, with support, will achieve level 2. There is no reason why they shouldn't achieve level 2, i.e. grade C, English and maths level. There are a number of young people that will come along where their assessment is below level one and they're expected to get to level one or level two, and unfortunately without a significant program or life experience, they're not going to achieve that. So an employer has to be understand that it may be that somebody is very personable, maybe have some vocational aptitude, but if the position requires a level of English and maths, they will need to get the correct score before they actually start the apprenticeship programme.
And whether you are taking on an adult or a young person at 16 as an employer, it's worth checking that the person is right for the job. And if one of those is that you need to check their maths and English, because that's what you need them to be able to do, you know, in their job role, then you do that, as well as taking up references or checking to see whether they can use a computer or any of those workplace skills. Going right back to the very first statement, an apprenticeship is a job. You're employing somebody to do a job and they are learning alongside it.
So looking at the numbers, the figures, etc., Martin, why would I have an apprentice?
Well, there are several reasons. As well as having a useful employee person to contribute to the business over time as they develop their competence, I think there are several other reasons that I've observed. One is that it provides the employer with the opportunity potentially to expand their business because they've got an employee that has been moulded in their way of working. Secondly, in terms of business continuity, that they are capable, when they've achieved their apprenticeship framework, of undertaking a full role with your business, and potentially if you're a small business, perhaps a one-person business, and you fall ill or you want to take a break. I've seen several examples of apprentices, once they're fully qualified, fully trained, being able to continue with that business and help the employer in a very constructive and profitable way.
And Simon, you're saying that the loyalty is phenomenal.
And they say that it costs, what is it, about £3,000 to recruit a new person?
Yeah.
If you're able to grow your own, you know, from the horticultural analysis, if you can grow your own, then you're saving yourself £3,000 each time that you're able to promote and progress that individual. Mm.
Well, gentlemen, I think you have both given us an awful lot of thought. Hopefully people who are listening to this will look to taking on apprenticeships. If you're looking for any students or any help with taking on an apprenticeship, then Martin Wagner from West Suffolk College, his details will be on the website, and Simon Page from WS Training in Ipswich, his details will be on, and I'm sure, gentlemen, you're willing to help any business out there.
We certainly will.
Thank you so much for your
time.
Thank you.